And I think that this polarizing narrative or binary around certain methods of birth or certain birth plans or certain preferences being inherently good versus inherently bad ultimately is setting people up for more traumatic births. So when you see people taking these polarizing stances, and these are the posts that do really well on social media because polarizing content goes viral. So when you're getting your information or learning things about pregnancy and birth on TikTok, on Instagram, whatever social media platform that you're consuming, you're basically getting these polarized narratives about birth instead of things that are helpful to foster a mindset that is actually productive for you to have a positive birth experience.
Welcome to the Mindful Womb Podcast. This is a show where we apply the principles of mindfulness, science, and the sacred womb so you can feel calm, informed, and most importantly, confident throughout the transformational cycles of your ever-changing womb. Pregnancy and parenthood offer unique opportunities to create new patterns and practices so we can ditch the stress and anxiety and embrace change with ease. And in the process, become the best versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Clara O'Rourke, she/her, a certified doula, childbirth educator, and complete nerd about all things pregnancy, birth, and mindfulness. If you're ready to get some tangible strategies, aha moments, and a good dose of calm and grounding energy, stick around and I promise you'll enjoy the ride as we learn and evolve together. This is the Mindful Womb Podcast.
I had a consult with a prospective client earlier this week, and the consult started out by us talking a little bit, and my client, I am so tired of the birth binary. And we unpacked that a little bit because I wasn't sure exactly what she had meant by the birth binary. And it became so clear what she was referring to. And this is the polarizing narrative that exists in the world, especially in the United States, around how to give birth. It's the polarizing narrative we find on social media where folks are saying that there is a good way to give birth and there's a bad way to give birth. Certain things are bad, certain things are good, yada, yada, yada. You're either in the camp of I'm using air quotes here, all natural, okay, having like an unmedicated birth, or you're in the camp of like, give me all the interventions and we can't talk to each other and one way is good and one way is bad. And I think that this polarizing narrative or binary around certain methods of birth or certain birth plans or certain preferences being inherently good versus inherently bad ultimately is setting people up for more traumatic births. So when you see people taking these polarizing stances, and these are the posts that do really well on social media because polarizing content goes viral. So when you're getting your information or learning things about pregnancy and birth on TikTok, on Instagram, whatever social media platform that you're consuming, you're basically getting these polarized narratives about birth instead of things that are helpful to foster a mindset that is actually productive for you to have a positive birth experience. And we'll talk a little bit more about what that mindset is and how to approach birth in a way that is not a good and bad binary. So I want to give an example of one of the most empowering and beautiful births that I have attended. And it was an unplanned cesarean birth, okay? My client was induced, IVF patient, advanced maternal age, had decided we have had so many challenges during this pregnancy. I don't want to take the chance of going beyond. I'm very comfortable with the decision to induce at this time. The induction went okay. I think probably her body wasn't, you know, fully ready and wasn't really getting coaxed into labor that well. Ended up having some stalling out with the cervix dilating. And we hit a crossroads where, you know, there was an option. It was long into the labor at this point. My client had opted to get an epidural and was really staying at 4 centimeters for an extended period of time and was now experiencing some cervical swelling. And so we kind of had some options of we can try some different positions with the epidural, see if that helps, do a couple of different interventions that may or may not help with the swelling. It's likely that at 4 centimeters, labor, you know, is still on the earlier end, so we have a longer trajectory ahead of us. The other option would be to elect for having a cesarean birth and a belly birth and having the baby in, could be less than an hour, and knowing that there was still a chance if we were attempting to get baby into a better position, help with dilation, that it may still not kind of help with the cervical ripening. My client was exhausted, and it was a hell yes decision for her to move forward with a cesarean birth. She was really tired, and she wanted to make sure that she had more energy when baby was born than to try to continue, and be depleted and exhausted if she eventually either birthed vaginally or had a cesarean birth. So it was a hell yes for her to decide to move forward with a cesarean. The one thing that she was really looking forward to was having immediate skin to skin. She was concerned about that with a cesarean. So we worked to kind of slow things down. We had the pediatric team come in and talk to us, and we really figured out how we could get her to as close to immediate skin to skin as possible. And I do want to highlight that there's a lot of evidence on immediate or close to immediate skin to skin after cesarean sections being best practice and an evidence-based practice, but we do not see this in typical medical practice. So it can be really hard to advocate for this, even though at the end of the day, it is your right to be with your baby. Sometimes you can get a lot of pushback. So we ended up having this all-woman team supporting my client. She was like, let's put on some empowering music. We got this playlist going with all these female artists. She was expecting a baby girl. Like, we just had this amazing, amazing birthday party. And this hospital often allows doulas in the OR. And so I was in the operating room with them. And it was just this blissful, amazing moment. My client looks back on this experience with joy and with so much happiness. It was such a beautiful cesarean birth. And her belly birth was just something that she felt so good about. Now, if my client had moved into her birth experience with this birth binary and polarizing birth narrative, which sometimes says cesarean births are bad, inherently bad, vaginal birth is superior. And while we know that there are tons of benefits to vaginal birth, right? There are also benefits to every unique situation. Nothing is inherently good or inherently bad, and everything comes down to figuring out what feels best for you, right? So I have had other clients who have been in prodromal labor for multiple days and who have done every single little thing that they could to birth vaginally, and things just did not work out for them. But they were happy to know that they had exhausted all other options. But at the end of the day, they were relieved that that was an option for them because they really knew that that was going to be the safest thing for them and their baby. But again, if you went in to having a cesarean thinking it was something inherently bad or that your body was broken and could not do it, that's why I don't love the birth affirmations that say, like, my body was meant to do this, because sometimes you can feel as if your body had failed you. And that's not the case. There's a lot of contextual things that can impact a birth experience. But the point here is that we don't want to look at cesareans as being inherently bad. We don't want to look at them as inherently good. Believe me, I am a doula. I am not a fan of unnecessarians. That's what I call unnecessary cesareans that are recommended for non-evidence-based reasons, and people feel coerced or pressured into them when they should not be. I am not a fan of those. But I am a fan of my clients having options and having the autonomy to choose what feels best for them. And when they are given all of the options, have a clear idea of the evidence on the risks, the benefits, and the alternatives, they're able to make an informed decision, either informed consent or informed refusal. And whatever they're doing feels like a hell yes to them. That is the empowerment in a birth experience. We can look at inductions the same way. If we inherently look at inductions as bad, well, maybe inductions can be more medical, but when we look at inductions for preeclampsia, that can be a life-changing procedure. We know the evidence on preeclampsia is quite clear. Preeclampsia is quite dangerous, and really the best way to solve preeclampsia is by having your baby, right? And so if you have this preconceived notion that inductions are inherently bad and you learn that you have preeclampsia and need to move pretty quickly in order to address that, then again, you can feel at odds with your birth experience because you're going into it believing that it is inherently bad to be induced or inductions are bad and have a bad connotation with it. So as we approach our birth experiences, the mindset shift of being open and not going in with preconceived notions of something being bad or good. Because when we do that, we know that we are limiting our ability to experience the full spectrum of life and lived experience and what they have to teach us. So if I'm being honest, I think the terms good and bad, which we used to describe almost everything, could really be dissolved because we truly are not understanding the interconnectivity of life in general. And this is where I'm going to get a little bit more philosophical and maybe a little bit more metaphysical. But in order to explain this, I'd love to share this metaphorical story with you. And it's one of my favorite stories. And I think it's going to help communicate why I think that we need to stop looking at things as objectively good or bad. So in this story, it starts out with, imagine a farmer and they had a horse and their horse ran away. So the neighbor had come over and said, wow, your horse ran away. What a shame. That's so awful. And the farmer, they were wise. So they responded, well, time will tell. The next day, the farmer's horse comes back. And with it, it brought another wild horse. So now the farmer had two horses. So the neighbor came back over and said, wow, what amazing luck. You have a second horse now. That's terrific. But the farmer was wise. And they responded, only time will tell. The next day, the farmer's son was riding this new wild horse, and the horse threw him off, and the son ended up breaking his arm. The neighbor came by and said, oh no, your son broke his arm, what a shame. And the farmer was wise, so they responded, only time will tell. The next day, the army came by to recruit the farmer's son for war, and because the son had a broken arm, he wasn't drafted. The neighbor heard the news and said, wow, that's amazing. You're so lucky. But the farmer was wise and said, only time will tell. So I want you to see the difference between how the farmer and the neighbor are ascribing good and bad and seeing kind of the interconnectivity of every single event, right? So the farmer understands that we can only define our past experiences through the lens of the present moment. So it's not the past that determines the future, but it's the present moment that determines the past. So the farmer understood that we shouldn't define our experiences as good or bad at all, but rather to wait and see how things play out with time. And you should absolutely use the same wisdom with your pregnancy and your birth experience. And the way to do this is with a mindset shift. A way to take a second and think that maybe something that you've been describing as bad is actually something protecting you from something far worse. Or maybe a negative experience is all that you need to lead you directly into a phenomenal experience for fulfillment in your life. For example, like what if a car crash leads to you getting a brain scan that finds cancer and saves your life, right? Objectively, in the moment, getting hit by a car and needing a brain scan from a car crash seems like an awful thing. But realizing you got a diagnosis on the earlier end that saved your life, well, maybe it was good. I have had clients who have had traumatic birth experiences, and by no way do I want that to have been their past experience. But that informed them to then hire a doula, take a childbirth education class, get informed, be more involved in their second pregnancy, and have a phenomenal second birth experience, and also communicate that to their friends and family. I've had people who have had challenging birth experiences and became birth workers, or someone who has become a mental health professional who focuses on perinatal mood disorders because they experience postpartum depression. So we can't see the interconnectivity of things when we're labeling them in a binary. And not only does this binary make us more prone to having challenging experiences, it also divides us. It divides birthing people into these camps of like, this was the way to do it and this wasn't. And I see so much judgment and so much shame when it comes to how people are birthing their babies, how they're deciding to feed their children. And this makes us feel more isolated. And it ultimately robs us of our collective power as being these badass birthing people who have amazing lived experiences that we can all learn from and understand and grow from. And so in no way do I want to say that I am happy for someone having had a traumatic birth experience, or that people deserve to have a certain experience or another. That is not the message I'm communicating here. The message I'm communicating here is that we need to liberate ourselves from looking at things as one or the other, good or bad, and understand that they are arguably all of those things, and our understanding in relation to them may change based off of how we're showing up in the present moment and what we were able to move forward and heal, and how we showed up as an individual in our lives and the continuum of how our stories unfold over time. So with this, I invite you to begin shifting your mindset. I invite you to start looking at things in your life a little bit differently, and inviting yourself to stop looking at things as good and bad, and experiencing them for a larger range of adjectives than good and bad, and accepting how you feel about things in any given moment. And a lot of times, what is causing us to feel this sense of something being bad or something being good really shows up in some of our biases around birth. And a lot of those can be fueled by fear. And when we start to unpack our fear and we start to understand what our subconscious mind has been conditioned to believe, then we start to understand why we're thinking certain things are bad or certain things are good, or associating positives and negatives with things that we don't necessarily need to look at this simply. So I want to welcome you to check out my free resource, All on Clearing Your Birth Fears. We address your birth biases. We reflect on where the root causes of some of these fears coming from, and allow you to be more intentional about how you are understanding your own relationship to birth and your options, so you can navigate decisions not from a binary, not from a sense of fear, but a sense of confidence and a sense of groundedness. So you can check out the free guide, and I have a little video tutorial that goes with it as well at clearlightbirth.com/fear. I'll link that in the show notes so you have access to it as well. But I hope you walk away from this episode with this. Your lived experience and your birth experience is beautiful. It may look different than you imagined, but when we get to the core of what brings us to an empowering birth experience, that is when the decisions that we make feel like a hell yes, because we are the one making the decision. We feel grounded and supported and ultimately held when we are making those choices. Back to the client story that I started off this episode with. When my client was deciding about moving forward with a cesarean, I could see a little bit of hesitation in her in relationship to me, because she hired a doula. And initially, she was like, we'd love a vaginal birth. We're okay with like anything happening, like mindset-wise, but that's kind of the intent. And you know, I asked her when she was making the decision, are you feeling... Everything that she was saying was like, yeah, cesarean makes sense, blah, 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 all of this makes sense. I don't know. I'm taking time to decide and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I asked her, is my presence causing you any anxiety about your decision? Because I know sometimes when people hire a doula, they think we might have, you know, a certain perspective or, you know, a bias around the decision that you decide to make. And I want you to know, I want you to make whatever decision is a hell yes for you. And I'm going to rally behind you and be there for you with whatever that is. And if you need space to make that decision, just let me know. Like, I can leave the room for a few minutes. And she looked at me and she said, I'm really glad you brought that up, because I do think I feel a little bit guilty about deciding this. Like, it feels like the right choice for me. But I feel like for some reason, guilty, as if I, you know, I'm letting someone down. And I was like, you're not letting me down. If this feels like a hell yes for you and you're going to feel good about your decision, I want you to celebrate a decision that feels good for you. So at the end of the day, we need to listen to our intuition and know exactly what that is telling us, what our gut is telling us. And if we are feeling shame to move forward with our gut because we're worried about what other people think or how society maybe said something was good or bad, We need to allow that to cleanse off of us and move forward in a path that feels aligned and good to us. Anyway, I am wishing you and your growing family the most beautiful of beginnings, and I encourage you to take your life's journey one step at a time and remember that all we can do is be present and listen to what feels best for us and know that there is so much more to our lived experience than something simply being just good or bad. So if you're getting caught up in these polarizing narratives on social media, I encourage you not to get sucked into them and to just trust your intuition and do what feels best and most grounded to you. All right. Happy birthing. I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you for tuning into the Mindful Womb podcast. If you're new to the show, I want to encourage you to hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you haven't left a rating or review for the show yet, that's the absolute best way you could support the podcast. Go ahead and click rate and review, leave a review, and don't forget to take a screenshot. You can upload that at clearlightbirth.com/review, and you'll see a link for that in the show notes. And in return, I will send you a free gift. So submit a review, submit a screenshot, and submit that to clearlightbirth.com/review. Thanks again for supporting the podcast, and I'll see you in the next episode.